Who's that for? The Sixers?
Well, we won the trade, you know, I mean, that's.
Oh, okay. Okay. Champions at a trade.
Yeah, maybe champions one day. I mean, there's certainly a way better chance today than there was 24 hours ago. Welcome back.
Facts.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, live from Citizens Bank Park. Now, the first hour is action packed. We got another one coming up here. We're going to get to something, well, I wouldn't call it an incident, but certainly eye-opening or eyebrow-raising situation last night with Zach Wheeler and Don Mattingly when Wheeler was taken out of the game. We'll get to that coming up. All your phone calls on Jaylen Brown. Also, Hugh, we'll have leading off at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to, I was going to say, we don't usually have a guest for leading off. A lot of times we have the Bulldog, Dave Urem.
The Bulldog, yeah.
Now, listen, I love Dave Urem. He is the Bulldog. Today, we have a different guest. I think Hugh, would you say it's a little bit of a bigger name for leading off guest today than Dave Urem?
Yes, a little bit.
J-Roll, Jimmy Rollins is going to join us. He is in the park today. He's doing a campaign with Major League Baseball to raise awareness for heart issues, with strokes and heart attacks. And it's Playing with Heart is the campaign. So Jimmy's here through the Phillies, and with that today, it is a worthwhile campaign, obviously, and to get awareness out there. So happy to bring Jimmy on. He'll tell us about that, and we'll talk some Phillies. He will join us coming up around 11:30. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Jared in Charlotte, and then we'll get to the Wheeler and Mattingly thing last night. And Mattingly spoke here just a few minutes ago about the whole situation. Let's go to Jared down in Charlotte. What's up, Jared?
Hey, today's a great day. Happy holidays to you and Joe, and I hope you guys have a great weekend coming up.
You as well,
you
man.
Too,
happy
Jared.
Holidays.
And it is a happy one. We're going in celebratory into this July 4th weekend.
We got to get banged up real nice.
Yeah, Jared. Totally unbelievable. Today's probably the greatest Sixers day. I thought when we beat the Celtics, that was the best Sixers day since game one of the finals. But this day has surpassed it, especially compounded on top of that. And I think this Jaylen Brown trade was amazing. I mean, and I think it's just the beginning of something much bigger that's going to go a lot longer. Because, like, when Jerry Jones came into the NFL, he won a couple championships and then destroyed that franchise for 30 years. And I have a feeling this Boston ownership, who's private equity, who makes cold-hearted decisions, not about people, but about money, they are going to destroy this franchise after the 1 year. And after winning their championship the 1 year, and they're going to dismantle it. And all of a sudden, I'm not sure if the Sixers took 10 steps forward as opposed to the Celtics taking 20 steps backwards. But we're still ahead by 20.
You know what? That's an interesting perspective. Jared, good phone call and enjoy the weekend. You know, I mean, look, we're having fun at the Celtics' expense. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the great day for the Sixers to land a player like this and to give themselves a chance the next couple years. I do, you know, like the Celtics, I thought 2 years ago, were on their way to kind of dominating the Eastern Conference for a while. Right, they had broken. They got to the finals with Brown and Tatum in 22, lost to the Warriors. They get back in 24 and they win it, right? So that meant 2 out of 3 years they were in the finals with those two guys leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had asked me, like, the next 5 years, how many times the Celtics could be in the finals, I would have said, I don't know, 2 or 3 more.
Because you thought they were going to keep the band
again.
Yeah,
maybe win another championship or two. And now, that probably isn't true, right? I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth, but Hugh, this is the kind of deal, if they're dead wrong about this, this has, like, it can reverberate. The Celtics could fall here pretty fast if they're wrong about, because they think they can replace him, like, obviously, right? Forget Paul George. That's just,
yeah.
They got to swap salaries, so Paul George had to be the guy. They think they can replace Jaylen Brown. That's a big thing, in my mind, to replace.
Yeah, and you talk about what he's been to that team and the way they built that team. Because we were talking about, you know, different teams and the way that they're built. And those guys came up together. They went through the trials together with each other. And then for them to all of a sudden, the relationship just goes sour and they move on from him abruptly. And has everybody wondering what was going on. Like I said, I feel like this was a favor. It feels like this was a favor. It feels like other things that they were asking for weren't happening, and I feel like Jaylen at some point just said, you know what, I don't want to be here, and they felt the same thing. It was probably relationship fatigue, and they both just said, you know what, we're just going to move on from you.
Well, I'm just glad it got here, and it got Jaylen Brown on the Sixers. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, Hugh, last night, another good Phillies night. How about the way they hit Paul Skeens twice this year?
Yeah, they rocked him.
They rocked him. I mean, they
tell you what, it was to see them score as many runs as they did, man, that's – it gives you – it's refreshing to see. It's definitely refreshing.
Great night. Now, the game got a little close. I think a lot of credit last night for the win goes to Alec Bohm. You're a guy. You're all-star.
The all-star Alec Bohm.
That play he made, that diving catch, was a spectacular play. And then hit a home run to kind of give him a little cushion late. So, good night by Bohm. Obviously, Trey Turner is red hot right now. And the Phillies bats hit around Paul Skeens. But, Hugh, none of that
– Well, he was hot before.
Well, he's been hot all week. None of that is the story, though. The story last night after the game was Zach Wheeler, who had a kind of a weird start where he struck out 10. He had times he was blowing the ball past the Pirates, but gave some base runners, some walks, some bloops in that last inning. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in 53 starts, it's a long time, did not get through five innings. Now, Hugh, I think Zach Wheeler pretty clearly thinks he should have been given the opportunity to get through five innings. Let's hear Zach Wheeler last night after the game on the decision by Don Mattingly to pull him with two outs in the top of the fifth.
I feel like it was kind of a grind for you tonight?
Yeah, I think it was a grind for both of us. I was happy to get that done.
How difficult is it to pitch in that in the heat?
It was first hot, really hot game of the year, so it takes a little getting used to. But once you get that one out of the way, it makes it a little easier for the rest of them.
Anything you can pinpoint for the grind?
It's a weird feeling. You know, you don't like to come out before finishing five, and the fans kind of get around it. It seems like you want to go off the field.
Something. Yeah, I was upset.
Boy, upset.
Getting taken out of the game.
You'd like to finish five?
Obviously, yeah. I feel like I've earned that.
Talk to Don on it?
Nope.
Will you?
I don't know. Good. Thanks.
You got a lot of passive aggressiveness.
Ooh, so a couple things stood out to me. I feel like I've earned that to get through the fifth inning. And have you talked to Don about it? Nope.
Now, I love Wheeler. That's my guy. But if you feel that strongly about it, you need to – they got some nice shoes on too, by the way.
Yes.
If you feel that strongly about it, that's probably the first person you need to talk to, because if I'm the manager and – you know, we have an issue. The last thing that I want to hear is it an issue in the newspaper. You know what I mean? I mean, if you had an issue with it, hey, let's sit down and chop it up. We could discuss it.
Now, to be fair, he's asked about a postgame. He has to do media availability. He didn't put out a tweet or Zach seems like he's the least online guy. But I mean, he doesn't do Insta. He didn't put it on Instagram. He was asked and he just answered.
But to your point, you pointed out last night that you saw when he was on the mound that he was clearly not happy.
Oh, he was not happy.
Okay, so if you're clearly not happy, say that. Say that in that moment, like, hey, man, I got this or something. Let him know that you got it. It feels a little passive aggressive to me. And you know, I got a lot of love for Wheeler. But if you felt that strongly about it on the mound, you should have said, hey, man, let me get this.
So I have two thoughts. My first, I love that he didn't want to come off the mound. I love that about him. Zach Wheeler has an old school thing about him. Like he's
and
in this era.
Old school.
Yeah, but pitchers back in the day, like this doesn't happen very much anymore. They used to wave off the manager or wave off the pitching coach. Like I'm not coming out of this game. Zach's got a little of that. I like that about him. But I also, Hugh, Don Mattingly has a job to do, and
yes,
Don Mattingly has to try to get this team. And this is there's two elements to this, and I think it's very hard to do both. The best managers could do it. He's got to have his foot on the gas to win as many games, try to catch the Braves, regular season, all that. He also has to think big picture. This is a guy coming off of surgery.
Totally agree.
Last night was what, July 1st? There's still a lot of season to go.
Totally agree.
And the goal is not just to have Zach Wheeler good in July, August, September. We need him at his best on October 26th
agree.
To win the World Series. So it's 104 pitches. It's a hot night. I don't think Don Mattingly's crazy for saying, you know what, you've done enough tonight. Let's go.
I don't think he's crazy either, right? But I think Wheeler needs to say something in that moment, and then Don explains it to him.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. You know, you're trying to – sometimes you got to save yourself from yourself. Like somebody has to save you from yourself. So I feel you on that. But I think that the way that the team is going, that Wheels probably could have handled that situation a lot better than he did.
So Don Mattingly was asked about it this morning, because I guess the there wasn't time to get Don Mattingly's response before
last
after
night,
Wheeler.
Yeah.
Right. So here's Don Mattingly in the dugout just about 20 minutes ago here at Citizens Bank Park, asked about what Wheeler said and his reaction.
I have not at this point. I don't think he wanted to talk to me yet. Maybe he'll settle down and talk to him later, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. But in general, it really doesn't bother me at all that he's upset. I think the great ones never want to come out of a game. And he's no different. I mean, I had Kershaw out there. He did not want to come out of games. But from my standpoint, I got to protect not necessarily him. He's at 105 in that inning. He has a 10-pitch at bat. He's at 115 in the fifth inning. This is a long-term kind of situation. I think you guys know our rotation is obviously a great rotation, but the depth of it is not just filled with, you know, four schemes down in the minor leagues ready to pop in and fill the spot. So, you know, my job is to make sure that this guy stays available, you know, through the course of the season. And we got a long way to go, so I really don't mind guys being upset. That's what the great ones do.
You know what he sounds like? A dad.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dad.
Sounds like someone who's done this before.
That's been there, done that. And like I said, the way Will's handled, and I think he handled it well because he said, hey, haven't talked to him yet because he hasn't settled down. So, you know, he's still mad. So he's not worried about it because he understands his competitive nature.
Yeah.
You know, and Wills is a competitor. But you could have handled that better. I mean, I'm with you. If you felt like you should have went, you got to think a big picture because if you get hurt, we're screwed.
I love that. We don't exactly have four Paul schemes in the minor league.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And he put it in perspective.
Yeah.
And I hope he heard that because that's basically what it is.
We need you.
We need – dude, we're sitting here trying to figure out – we've had polls over the last couple of weeks. What do we need more of? It looks like the bats are starting to come around, and hopefully that could be the case and they could stay hot. We need pitching. We need some pitching. And the other day, we left Nola out there because we didn't have a bridge to get to the bullpen, tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're in the – I understand Wills is in the moment, but you have to think about what Don's thinking about. He's like, dude, he's already out there. It's hot. What'd you say, 105 pitches? Get him out of there.
Well, and he brought up – he's dealt with this before. I mean, sometimes you hear Don Mattingly and you remember – not only did he play for a long time, or he was a great player, he has a lot of managing experience. He mentioned Kershaw, right? Kershaw was like that. Kershaw didn't want to come out of games, so he dealt with that before. And the other thing I thought was a good point by Mattingly is, Hugh, yeah, so 104, 105 pitches, that's not that big of a deal. But Mattingly brings up the point, I don't know if the next batter is going to be a 10-pitch at-bat. And all of a sudden, you're at 115, right?
Yeah.
Then we're in the kind of territory like – when was the last time he threw 115 pitches, Zach? Then you kind of have to be wary of that. So I understand. I love that Wheeler has that fire to him. But Don Mattingly was in the right. I mean, if he thinks it's time and let's keep him healthy, he's got to take him out of the game.
And then, you know what, not only that, even when we got a chance to talk to Don in at the beginning, before the season started, he's always, when you ask him baseball questions, because when we talked about the lineups and stuff, he immediately goes into the moment. So it sounds like to me when he was having that conversation – he went into the moment, and he tried to explain it in detail the best way that he possibly could. I mean, listening to that, I understand where Wills is coming from, but he's right. You have to protect yourself from yourself sometimes.
You do. Chris in Middletown up on WIP as we discuss Jaylen Brown being traded to the Sixers. What's up, Chris?
Welcome to the city of Jaylens, man.
There's a lot of Jaylens here in Philadelphia. Now we have a J-A-Y-L-E-N compared to a couple J-A-L-E-Ns, but there's a lot of Jaylens running around now.
Joe, stop with the semantics of spelling. We can't even say names right for the most part.
How would you rank the three Jaylens, three prominent Jaylens?
I'd like us to trade one of them now. I think he wears number one as well.
We have too many? Have we gone over the quota of Jaylens?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I asked you before the show how we would rank the Jaylens right now.
Yeah. Right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
Brown.
Carter. And Hurts.
I think that's a fair ranking. Go ahead, Chris.
But you did that on purpose.
I hear the Jaylenites get triggered right now by Hugh Douglas, and I love it. Guys, I want to touch on the Jaylen Brown thing.
Yeah, fine. That's fine.
You know, they're sensitive folks.
Super sensitive.
They kind of hear what they want to hear. I mean, they are delusional. Jaylen Brown, guys, there's nothing to say about this. The guy's a stud. He's exactly what the Sixers need. And Joe, you already said this. He's going to take the mantle as the man, and the youngsters get to just do what they do without the pressure on them, which is just absolutely perfect. And, Joey, you're on fire today, by the way. You also compared him to the Moses trade, and I agree. And, guys, it's going to yield the same result. I mean, Sixers, start planning out the map and out the parade right now. It's happening next year. Something, though, Joe, I've been watching the Phillies, and this Jaylen Brown trade has got me happy more in a Hugh sort of way, because I feel like this is a message to Mr. Middletown. Do you see what happens when you have the right GM in place? Middletown, Mr. Middletown, the owner of the
Middleton.
John Middleton. Yeah, Middleton.
No.
Yeah.
Middleton. Not Middletown. Now. It's the same. No. The same.
Well, listen, Mike Gansey's having a moment. Right, has Mike Gansey jumped Dombrowski in the GM rankings in the city?
Absolutely. He's leading the pack. He's ahead of Howie right now.
No,
Joe.
I wouldn't go there.
He's ahead of Howie.
Huh?
I would. I live in the moment, Joe. I'm a fan. Okay. Right now he's ahead of Howie.
Yep. Yep.
Joe, I want to point something out to everybody that's watching this, because I really want Mr. Middleton to have his ears on for this, because we need to get rid of Dumbo. I'm going to compare two players real quick here for you. Batting average wise, 239 versus 256.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I lost you there. Batting average, 239 versus... shut up, Kyle. 239 versus 256. Player 2 gets the advantage. On base percentage, 287 versus 307. Player 2 gets the advantage. OPS, 655 versus 653. Back, practically neutral. Player reveal here, player 1 that lost this comparison, Trey Turner. Player 2, Justin Crawford. That's you, Dombrowski. That's what you're doing right now. Trey Turner. You're a big man. You're a big man that you can't do what Don Mattingly has done and take under control and trade and get rid of him. I hope he stays hot, Joe, so they can trade him. I want to wish everybody a happy, safe 4th of July, especially you, Hugh Douglas. Please don't get yourself tied up in Skip's bedroom over this holiday weekend. Have a great 4th, everyone.
That's a lot, Chris. Happy 4th. Yes, Trey is hot right now. Hopefully it continues. He's been on a heater. Big home run last night off of Paul Skeens. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up. We got a lot here, Hugh. We have Jimmy Rollins that will join us coming up in a little bit as we get into leading off. Also, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner will read the lineup today for the Phillies lineup before first pitch. We'll lead you up to the game. We're live at Citizens Bank Park on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament is heating up in the U.S. On Kalshi, you could trade every match from the opening stage all the way into the final. And after last night, we know the United States is in to the final 16 here in the great big soccer tournament. And right now, the United States trading at 4% to win it all, which means a $100 trade on the U.S. to win would pay out $2,179. On Cal Street, trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position. For a limited time, download the Cal Street app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI Kalshi, trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory. You know, I want to give the guy credit. A big night last night. That was a great diving catch.
Yeah.
Stop a rally for the Pirates. And then a home run late to help put it away. Welcome back. It is a midday show with leading off, getting you set for the Phillies and the Pirates, the finale of a four-game set here and the finale of the season series between the Phillies and Pirates. Phillies come in 49-38. The Pirates at 43-44. Starting pitchers, Jared Jones for the Pirates. Allen Ronhell. He's getting his first real start today here.
How cool is
that? No opener. He gets to start it from the first inning. Player to count on, brought to you by Barlow, Buick, GMC, and Woodbury, New Jersey. Honest pricing. Dedicated service every day. Hugh, what are you thinking for the player to count? A lot of offensive players very hot lately.
Alec Bohm.
You know what? Alec Bohm does have one career home run in three at-bats off of Jared Jones.
Bohm.
Is that because you want him in the All-Star
game?
You want to be right? You want to see me upset?
You know what?
For the integrity of the game?
I have the same obsession that everybody else has. I want to be right about stuff.
Well, of course. Of course, yeah. He's been better lately.
Yeah.
Trey has been on fire. The Trey Turner hot streak. Boy, when Trey gets going, he really – I mean, you remember his first year here. He was abysmal for 4 months and then just went on like a two-month heater after that to kind of rescue his season. So I'm never surprised at the Trey Turner hot streak. I just hope it lasts as long as it can, because usually it's followed by – he goes the other way, right? Like, but when he's hot, he can have these weeks where he hits 3, 4, 5 home runs and – looks like the player we all want him to be.
Yeah, you know what's funny, man? It's like, I know everybody's feeling it. Nobody's probably saying it, but we're all feeling the fact that the bats have lit up over the last couple of games.
Yes.
And we just want to do everything we can possibly to keep it going. That's it. Because there are some out there that are thinking about the postseason and all this other good stuff, but you just want to keep the bats hot for as long as you possibly can.
Well, and look, the better Trey plays, probably the less need they have for an impact bat. They just need another solid bat.
We need some
pitching. Well, that's going to be huge. And then, look, let's just cross our fingers Ron Howell can get them through another month as a fifth starter, because, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that very few people look at as a long-term thing. So can he just keep them in the game for the next month or so? Today's weather report, and today is certainly an interesting weather report, Hugh, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Philadelphia. For windows and doors that go beyond, visit the pros at PellaPhilly.com. Hugh, they're giving out water bottles at some of the entrances today, and that is kind of the Phillies and necessary because it is hot. We're talking about 101 for game time today. Hugh Douglas, it's hot out there.
Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable to play baseball. So what you got to do out here today, if you're out here today, people, stay hydrated. Make sure you stay hydrated. And you know, take breaks when you need to take breaks. No question about it.
Yes, you see our friends Phil and Phyllis?
Yes, Phil and Phyllis.
In front of us here hanging out. Hugh, speaking of the All-Star balloting, voting ends in 34 minutes. So if you want to vote one more time,
you know what? Yeah,
stuff that ballot box.
Stuff that ballot
for
box.
For Alec Boehm. All right, 215-592-9494. We got a lot left in leading off, including Jimmy Rollins set to join us here in the booth. And Derek, our winner of the Phillies Fantastic Auction, will read you the Phillies lineup before we hand it over to Greg Murphy. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Leading off on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Is leading off Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're going to have Derek, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, with us before we hand this over to Greg Murphy to deliver the lineup today. Hugh, as the Phillies play their fight. You know what's kind of weird? And it kind of gives you a sense
you
of how far into the season we are. After today, the next time the Phillies are back here, and not all of them will be, Hugh, is the All-Star game. The Phillies go on a very long road trip after today.
Wow.
Three central teams, Kansas City, Detroit, and Cincinnati, and that leads right. So we only have a week left before the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
It's warm. The weather's warming up really, really nice. It should be a good time.
Well, and here's the thing. The Phillies, now, look, and it's baseball, right? We'll see how they play in the next week or two. But they get to face three teams. Now, the Tigers have heated up a little bit. They're trying to rescue the season. The Royals are bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Reds, I would say, are below average. Hugh, it's not crazy to think that the Phillies could find themselves in first place by the time the All-Star game is here.
Still, what, 2.5 out, right?
2.5.
2.5, yeah. That's plausible, especially when you talk about the way the bats have been heating up lately. That's plausible.
Definitely. Well, it is more than plausible. It is certainly possible for the Phillies to be in that position as soon as the All-Star break is here, which is coming up in a little bit. And we'll see how many All-Stars they have. Voting for the All-Star game
Alec
ends
Boehm.
In 34. It could be Boehm. It could be Marsh.
Alec Boehm.
How about a guy that was an All-Star at one point for the Philadelphia Phillies? He joins us right now. Jimmy Rollins is going to join us live on Leading Off as we get set for the Phillies and the Pirates. And Jimmy's here for a special cause, not just the baseball. Jimmy, how are you today?
I am busy. I am well.
Looking all grown, man.
I know, right?
looking like an adult up in here.
I'm great, though. I'm great. I'm enjoying my time in Philly, as I always do.
Well, Jimmy, we're happy to have you and talk about the Phils a little bit, but tell us why you're here today specifically, playing with Hart and the campaign you're doing with a bunch of other former baseball players.
Yes.
And Charlie Manuel. Tell us about the campaign and why it's so important to you.
It's heart health awareness, and it's important because, one, we can't live without our hearts. It's the number one killer in this country, heart disease, and personally, I've seen it firsthand now with my father passing away a month ago. My aunts passed away, my grandmother passed away, and even myself knowing that I have elevated bad LDL, which is low density lipoprotein cholesterol, which is what LDL stands for. It's always acronyms like, what is it? It's simple. It's bad cholesterol. It's the fats that can block your arteries and leads to a higher risk of stroke and heart attack. And as scary as it is to know, you know, to think of how scary it is to know, it's even worse to not know. You exercise, and then all of a sudden you're feeling something, and we all want to self-diagnose ourselves. We're healthy and working out. It doesn't matter what you look like or how you feel on the outside. You could be the top shape of your life. Inside, maybe telling a different story, and it may not be anything that you're doing. In my case, it's DNA. We know that it runs in my family.
You know what's funny, J-Roe, because I was telling Joe about this, because I take cholesterol medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, initially, it was kind of hard to realize that, you know, because you work out every day, you know, everything you're talking about, you're not really eating bad. So my question for you, was it kind of hard to hear and know that, you know, you kept yourself in pretty good shape to actually get on it and start taking it?
Oh, I mean, I'm not taking anything, but yeah, the pride, ego, what? I'm this? Of course, it was my mind. It was the off season. I was eating everything I wanted.
Yeah, cheeseburgers,
everything. When the season starts, I'll be fine. And sure enough, every year in spring training, those numbers were slightly elevated. And the last time I was tested was a year and a half ago. I would think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, They're slightly elevated, and it's okay. I've seen it. My numbers have been about where they are since I first started getting tested.
So it's not nothing. It's not high.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be high, like what, 159 or so is high or something like that. And I'm like 162. So I'm at the beginning of what high is, but it's been there, so I know it exists. It was just in my mind, it was due to the off season where I was eating, but getting educated and going seeing my father go through it and learning more about it, it had less to do with eating what I wanted to do in the off season than I thought. So yeah, your question, yeah, ego and pride get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
go see your doctor. Go get checked out.
And Jimmy, I think it's important to know, especially I bet there's a lot of people out there listening. They're like in their 20s or their 30s. Like, I don't worry about that yet. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a player during your era of playing. Daryl Kyle was a great pitcher. And unfortunately,
yes.
He passed, you know, a young man, yep. I mean, his 30s. And so this could, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. You need to be on top of this.
You need to be on top of it. And it's simple. You go to playingwithheart.com and take the first step. And a lot of times it's just doing the research yourself that takes that fear away of like, okay, this is what it is. Let me try it. And don't be a self-doctor. Don't try to diagnose yourself. Don't try to solve it without knowing what the proper steps are. You get to a doctor, get on a program, and then you have a chance.
Playingwithheart.com. And there's a booth here today, right? At Citizens Bank Park, right?
I was walking around. Right out in the Wall of Fame area.
Yep, right. So
it's hot out there, though.
It's warm.
Oh, yes.
It's warm.
They're giving out waters over there. So get your water as you come in the park. You could go stop at the booth.
Yes.
Boy, it's hot out here. Now, when you first were here, I mean, the vet was here. How hot was it on the vet field when it was a day like this?
Right, 118. I think the highest we saw it was 118. And I'm playing shortstop, and from the dugout, the vet, you know, as you sat beneath the field, you can see the heat wave get above the wall.
Yeah, that's when you know it's real.
It's hot.
And
I'm sitting there, he's laughing at me like, Jim, you ain't got no chance. You know, you stuck right in the middle of it. But that's what's nice about this ballpark is that it is natural. You're not getting that heat off the turf. But when they wet the field, and you know that water
moisture,
comes up,
oh my gosh! Yeah, and it's hot.
Now you're being steamed.
Yeah.
Being steamed
like a lobster, like a lobster.
Jimmy Rollins joining us here on Leading Off. Jimmy, let's talk about the team and the way they're playing right now. Which is, man, what? Let's talk about Don Mattingly. The job you think he's done. Look, Topper was a good Phillies manager. Everyone liked Topper, but the team wasn't responding early this season. They were 9-19. They make the switch, and now the talk's about Don Mattingly maybe being more of a long-term guy and being manager of the year. What do you think about the job Mattingly's done since he's taken over?
He's done a hell of a job, and it's funny how life happens, right? Don was done with baseball last year.
Yeah, he was chilling.
Just got a call, and Dombrowski's like, hey, we want you to be a part of it. He considered it. I'm not sure what the conversation was, but he's here. And I had a chance to play with Don in 15, under Don in 15. And I know the type of person he is as a manager. He didn't forget how hard it is to go out there every single day. He understands and respects you being a big leaguer, you having your own schedule. He's not trying to control things. And I was 3 days in the spring training, and all the guys planning for the Dodgers, none of them really played on the East Coast. And it was like he'd been waiting to say this for years. He's like, a lot of you guys could have made it on the East Coast. Isn't that right, Jimmy? And I'm like, bro, I'm the new guy here. What are we doing? But he just wanted to let them know that I understand how as difficult as you think it is, it's much more difficult on the East Coast. So for him to know that, to understand how the East Coast mentality is, to take over a team that was 9-19, he was the perfect guy. He was one. You could look at his track record. I don't know how he's not a Hall of Famer. When you bring that to a clubhouse, on top of that, he still can relate to today's player. He's a perfect guy.
You know, it's funny that you talk about that because we've heard players in the past talk about the guy that carried the stick and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. How important is that? Like, because in football, it's a little different because, you know, you got coaches that never played the game, but they're X and O's
guys. Right.
For a player, how important is it for you to know that you're with somebody who understands undoubtedly what you're going through on a day-to-day basis?
You know he's going to have your back when you struggle because he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what it's like to go one for your last 20 to strike. Well, he probably doesn't know what it's like to strike out two or three times in the game. But he understands that's part of the game. He also understands the X's and O's, which he does, but he's going to go with his gut at the same time. I know what the numbers say, but my eyes are telling me something else. He's not stuck to the book because he has experience. He's lived it. He's breathed it. And when you know that – you consider that, and you hear this term, and especially in baseball, he's a player's manager. That doesn't mean he's soft on his players. He understands his players, and he's going to be that buffer between what's going on up there, what's going on out here, and what's happening in that clubhouse. And you can count on that. When you have a guy that you can count on in that way that understands the ins and outs and the struggles, the highs and lows, it makes going out playing baseball a lot easier.
Jimmy Rollins with us here on Leading Off. Jimmy, the NL East, I mean, at one point it was 11 games.
It was crazy. Look,
now they're within 2.5. And we were before you hopped in, talking about the schedule. Phillies go on the road after this. Three teams have losing records. It's not crazy to think they come home for the All-Star game. They might be in first place. What a turnaround.
They can. I mean, the Braves will still have to lose. But to make up 9 games
crazy
before the All-Star break is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and look, and I've been on TV, and I said it on Tuesday. Look, I have to say sorry because the division was over. The way they were playing.
You weren't the only one that thought.
Look, the way they were playing, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. There was no fight. It wasn't like, oh, they're losing by one in every game. They were getting their butts beat. And it's, okay, well, is that window closed? And we know in sports there's a window. You get older. You don't get older and better. There's a certain point where you get past the better. And that's what it was looking like. So to make up those many games, and I said this earlier, they are the epitome of what the Fighting Fields are. It didn't matter what everybody on the outside was saying. They found something. They made the change in the managers. They found something within themselves to get them to this point right now where they're right back in the thick of things, and it's beautiful Philly.
So you said you don't get better with age. Kyle Schwarber's trying to change that opinion, though. I mean, doesn't it feel like he's getting better as he gets older? It's remarkable.
So, like I said, there's a point.
Yeah.
There's a point, and he's peaking right now. One thing I can say in today's sports, the way they take care of their bodies, the knowledge that they have, the willingness to spend the money to sustain a certain level of play, it's showing up. It's showing up in not just baseball, but in every single sport.
It really is. Jimmy, we appreciate you being with us. One more time, tell us about the campaign and tell us where everyone could go to get their – if they're coming to the park today, out by the Wall of Fame, they'll see the booth. But tell us where they can go online to check it all out.
Yeah, we'll start there. Go online with planwithheart.com. Heart health is important. It's America's number one killer. So get your number. Know your number. Meet with the doctor. Get a plan. Take care of yourselves because – you don't want to, leave your loved ones sooner than you have to. We all have a time on this earth, and we all know that. But do what you can that you can prevent things and live as long as you possibly can.
Jimmy, great match. So glad we could do this today. Enjoy the game. It's a hot one, so stay hydrated out there.
It's a hot one.
Yes, but we appreciate you hopping on with us here on Leading Off. On the other side, Derek, who is our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, will give you the Phillies lineup right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. You know, I don't know if we'll ever have a better guest list for a Leading Off to you. I mean, to go from J-Roll to the Bulldog.
To the Bulldog.
And then we're going to have Derek, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, read the lineup coming up. And we go right now to our guy Dave Urem in the booth, who was just down there as Don Mattingly tried to smooth over potential issue with Zach. How you doing, Dave?
What's up, guys? Boy, what an eventful night last night here in Philadelphia sports, and with the Sixers
goodness.
At the ballpark.
It was a great day, man.
Yeah.
It's
great
always
night.
Amazing, Dave, because in a game you never know what the story will be. And look, there's a lot of great things last night. Bohm had a great game with the catch and the home run. Trey is red hot. But the story became that Wheeler thing. Mm-hmm. And, Dave, I have never seen Zach Wheeler that upset. And, he's an interesting guy because he's kind of cold and calculated and quiet. But when he speaks, he gives you what he wants to say. He was not happy last night that Don Mattingly took him out of that game.
He was very short. He was very brief. And you could tell right away, standing about a couple of feet away from him, that he really didn't want to talk to anybody last night at that point. So I had a question in mind, and I'm very glad that I did not ask that question because I don't know if it would have gone over very well.
What was that question, Dave Urem?
That was if he felt like his pitches were more accurate because he wasn't happy with the accuracy of his pitches in recent starts. So I had a feeling that answer, the question would not have gone over.
Probably wouldn't have. He seemed a little tight.
I mean, it's a good question, though, Dave.
It is a good question.
Dave and the team right now, besides the Wheeler thing, it's playing good baseball. And boy, the offense, Dave, after the first couple months of not good, they've really heated up to the point where They have well over 100 home runs as a team now. I mean, they're on pace to be a 200 home run team again, which is something, if you had said that in April, I would have said, I don't know about that. But the power's really coming, especially Marsh, who now is at, what, 15 or 16, and Trey and Boehm around 10. So they're starting to help out just Harper and Schwarber.
I mean, I think the record under Don Mattingly speaks for itself. 40 and 19 is exceptional. And, you know, Mattingly pregame today, I'm sure you guys played it. Mattingly said that he's not upset that Wheeler's mad. He actually likes that Wheeler's mad because it means he wants to pitch. But he stuck to his conviction that he was doing what he thought was best for the team, and that's making sure Wheeler was available. Did not speak to him at that time yet, but, you know, plans to do so, of course. And for what it's worth, you know, we didn't talk to Zach this morning, but just from generally observing him in the clubhouse this morning, he seemed fine. He seemed
water off the duck's back.
He's smiling. He was, you know, he was having some fun with a couple of teammates. It seemed like Zach was in a better mood this morning.
Well, that's good, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure they'll figure the whole thing out. Dave, last one for you as we head towards the final. So they'll play today here against Pittsburgh, and then they hit the road. Dave, we were just discussing it with ourselves, and then when J-Roll was in here, there is a chance that they come back from this long road trip to Detroit and Cincinnati and Kansas City in first place. It's not crazy to think this team could go from 11 back to first place within the first half of the season. That's remarkable.
It's a great turnaround. But I maintain this, and I'm going to maintain this throughout the whole way. If they win the division, that's really good. But and obviously they're not going to try to lose games. But the best scenario for them is to win the division, but be the third team. Be the third seed, and not one of the teams with the buys, because we have.
Oh, you're anti-buy.
We have enough of a sample size.
Do we have enough
with this Phillies team?
Oh, the Phillies.
I'm not making an excuse of the buy. Obviously, other teams have done fine with the buy and have won championships, but this Phillies team has enough of a sample size over four seasons that week off doesn't do them any good. Starting right away does them good. And honestly, being an underdog, going on the road in the DS, they've done better with that than they have being here. Because all you got to do out there is split, and then you come here to this place at 1-1. If you lose a game here or two like you did last year, you're in trouble going on the road.
Well, Dave, the other thing, if we assume the Dodgers will end up the one, which they typically do, yep. You know, they're the easiest bet to make. If they're the three or the two, they position themselves on the other side of the bracket of the Dodgers. I thought last year, you know, as good as they were playing going in, it's like right away you play the other best team, right? It's like the two Titans playing in the, you know, I'd rather play them in a 7-game series and kind of do it that way. Dave, we appreciate hopping on with us. Enjoy the game. And Dave, stay cool today.
Stay cool, bro.
Hydrate.
It's hot out there.
Shade.
All right.
Sunscreen.
The Bulldog, Dave Uram, talking to us there. And Hugh, I think that's good to hear that Wheeler, in the clubhouse himself this morning. You said duck off a what is water off
the duck's back.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine he was upset last night, and now he's going to move on. And I'm sure at some point him and Mattingly will talk about what's going to be curious is the next time
something like that happens.
It's the fifth or sixth inning.
I think you'll have a better understanding next time. I mean, you have to, because we're in a situation where, like, because I would assume explaining it the way that Don explained it, Wills will get that. He'll understand that.
Yep.
Because we're thin at pitching, and, you know, you got to have him around for as long as you can possibly have him.
You do, and you need him. All right, so joining us now, our third guest leading off, and a special one here, Derek, our winner of our Phillies Fantastic Auction. And today and this year, Hugh, our auction item was to hop on the air live with us at Citizens Bank Park, and Derek is going to get to read the Phillies lineup. So, Derek, welcome to leading off in WIP.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for donating, and that's why you're here, and it obviously goes to a great cause. And, Derek, as part of this, we're going to go to a game together. Now, we're going to go to a different game because today is a bit hot. Today, this is one of the hottest games I've ever been at. It's hot out there, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to get a great game, and we're going to go to a game later this season, me and you and Hugh and your wife, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Derek,
it's cooler.
Do you want to present to everyone listening the Phillies lineup today?
I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go ahead. Let's hear it, Derek.
All right. Well, leading off, playing shortstop, we have Trey Turner. Batting second in the DH, we have Kyle Schwarber. Batting third and playing first base, we have Bryce Harper. Batting fourth and playing left field, Brandon Marsh. Batting fifth and playing third base, we have Alec Boehm. Batting sixth and playing second base, we have Bryson Stott. In the seventh spot, we have Gabriel Rincones Jr. and playing right field. In the eight hole, we have Justin Crawford playing center field. And batting ninth, we have Marshawn catching. And on the mound, we have Alan Rangel making his first start from the beginning of the game.
The first real start he gets to have. Yeah. So now that you've read the actual lineup, Do you have a take on the lineup? Do you like the way that Mattingly does the lineup? Do you like Turner in the leadoff spot, Schwarber too? What's your take on the way the Phillies do their lineup most days?
I do like it over the top. You do nice having speed on the top. You have people on the base for Schwarber and Harper to drive him in. Bohm's been picking it up recently, so you kind of got that right-left splits going and makes it good for him.
Well, Bohm's Hugh's guy. I mean, I don't know if you heard. We were here opening day, and Hugh made a prediction that – what was it?
15 home runs.
Well, I think you said 30.
I don't recall.
Oh,
that.
You said it was maybe it was a 15?
I think it was 15.
Well, he's at 10 now, Hugh. So
yeah, so I'm almost there.
Yeah, and
I look like a saint.
Well, I'm not sure about all that, but yeah. You have I think we have 8 minutes left to vote for the All-Star game. I think 12 o'clock is like the cutoff. Hugh, are you getting one more vote in for Alec Bohm?
I'm working on it, man. I'm looking at the phone now. I'm trying to get one more vote in, but yeah. Like lately, it's only been letting me vote on the computer only like once a day.
But you're allowed to go up to 5 times a day.
Yeah, but on the computer, it was like once a day.
Well, listen, we'll see if Bohm makes it. We'll see if Stott makes it. Marsh is the guy, though, Derek. To me, Marsh is the one that deserves everyone's vote. What a year he's had. It's been amazing.
Marsh is unbelievable. He's finally given up to the potential everyone thought he was going to be. He's a fan favorite, and now he's playing like everyone expected him
to. Yeah, look, I mean, Hugh, he was a first-round pick back in the day, you know, way back when he was with the Angels. Like, once in a while, those first-round picks, it takes a while. Like, sometimes they're late bloomers. Like, he looks now like he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, you know what's funny? He was part of the daycare when I first got here, yep. And they kind of carried the team for a couple months. Now it looks like he's getting back to that. So it's good to see.
Well, it's great, and the Phillies need it because, you know, their lineup, as we talked about, has been, you know, for most of the year a struggle. But now they're red hot, and guys, if Trey Turner, Derek, if Trey Turner hits the way he has this week, then you could start dreaming on what this lineup is.
No, then what's going to stop him at that point?
I know, with the starting pitching they have, and especially, and Hugh Duran at the back of games. It's just so nice to have a closer. Like, when he came in last, I know they made the lead 4, right? They got it up to 4 runs, 10-6. It's just, doesn't it feel with Duran this year basically automatic when he comes in the game?
Yeah, because he's throwing that straight gas. And hopefully we won't have to see him today, but if we do, like he throws hot fire, it's going to be like probably smoking.
Yeah, well, it's smoking out there. Yeah, it's smoking with the weather. Do you ever play in a game? Well, I guess the Pickle Juice game,
Jacksonville.
Right? Jacksonville.
Pickle Juice game, yeah, played in a few. In Dallas, I remember, because it was 100 and something degrees, and everybody was kind of complaining about the weather. But no, we made it through. You just got to hydrate on days like this. I'm pretty sure the Phillies knew that, you know, looking at the weather report going into this week, they probably put a heavy emphasis on being hydrated so that you won't cramp up and things of that nature. So they should be fine. But it's the people outside, the people that are at the game. Those are the ones that have to stay hydrated, man. I know we like to come and have, you know, our adult beverages and everything, but make sure.
Have some H2O in there.
Yeah, you make some water in there with that, man, because you do not want to be hydrated.
Well, speaking of
dehydrated.
I think it's third base and left field gate. They're handing out water when you come in. So if you're driving in now and you're about to park, they are giving out water today. So take advantage of it. Hydrate. Enjoy the game as the Phillies go to win 3 out of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Their final game of the season against Pittsburgh in terms of the season series. You know, they've played well against Pittsburgh. They beat them out there in Pittsburgh. They've come back. They've won the first 2 out of 3. And, you know, this is a team. We'll see where they land. It wouldn't shock me.
If they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock with their pitching and some of their offense.
Yeah, they got some pretty good pitching.
They're young. I wouldn't be surprised if we are in the wild card series that we see them. So it's a good litmus test, and they've played well against them so far. Derek, we appreciate you being here. Thank you for the donation to the Phillies Fantastic Auction, and we're looking forward to going to a game with you later this season.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Derek, our winner of the Phillies Fantastic Auction. All right, Hugh, you taking any home run bets before we sign off?
You know what? I haven't bet in a while. You know, since it's getting close to football season, I got my little coins. I'm going to save.
Oh, you're saving?
For my bet.
Any predictions, though? I mean, it's hot. Sometimes the ball flies when it's hot.
So
Bryce has been hot. Trey has been hot in the last few days.
Haven't heard from Schwarber in a while.
We're kind of due, aren't we?
Yeah, we're kind of due for that.
Sunday was his last home run.
Yeah, we're kind of due for that, so I'm going to go with Schwarber.
The crazy part with Schwarber is he hits so many home runs that when it's like 3 games without one, you're like
what's going on?
It's been a long time. He's been stuck on 30 since Sunday. I like that idea. Maybe Kyle Schwarber with a home run today off of Jared Jones. It's Jared Jones. It's Ron Hell for the Phillies, his first actual start. Good litmus test for him. Pirates have a pretty good offense. We'll see how Ron Hell pitches without the opener in front of him. Phillies go for the series victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're going to hand this over in a couple seconds here to Greg Murphy. Yes, Phillies on deck as he gets you set for the game, the pitching matchups, and the Phillies going for another series victory. Everyone out there, have a great day. Stay hydrated. Enjoy the Phillies. Enjoy hopefully another series victory. And enjoy July 4th. Hugh and I will talk to you at the beginning of next week right here, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.